I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to ET Yoga. I think we've got a great show for you tonight, and as usual, it'll be jam-packed with information. We're going to be talking this evening about mind-boggling discoveries in physics, biophysics, and quantum physics, and then relating this down to the practical level. As usual, I'm going to recommend that you grab a paper and pencil because there's probably some things mentioned this evening on in the program that you might want to be researching later. And in addition to that, I'm going to take care of the numbers that you can call in worldwide for asking questions at the end of the program. And that's for USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. And worldwide, 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. Now, to start off the show, did you know that it's been proven to move faster than the speed of light? Well, it was certainly a news flash to me. I never read about it anywhere in any newspaper or any journals or any information that's been passed on word of mouth. And yet, where I came across the information was a channeling from Mary Magdalene through Michelle Eloff. And I quote, "It has been proven to move faster than the speed of light. It has been proven that one can be in more than one place at the same time, and that the laws of cause and effect is part of limited consciousness. This will challenge the parts inside of you that are addicted to any kind of victim consciousness. And this is also related to remote viewing. I refer the listener to ARVI remote viewing courses on your internet. And it is the dormant parts of the brain that holds this technology. And specifically, this channeling from Mary Magdalene is in direct reference to the work of Dr. Wang's 2000 experiments. And to read the whole transmission, go to the Lightweaver website, which is primarily the teachings and channelings of Master Kathumi. I also refer the listener to Cosmic Voyage, which is a book done through remote viewing that Bashar says is about 95% accurate. You'll be amazed by some of the activities happening near and on the Earth. And now continuing with this train of thought with Faster Than the Speed of Light from the Academy of Remote Viewing and from an article entitled Remote Viewing and Quantum Physics, a quote from Albert Einstein. A human being is part of the whole, called by us the universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts, and feelings as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion to reality, end quote. And in research carried out in the United States, Dr. Wang, particle physicists have shown that light pulses can be accelerated up to 300 times their normal velocity of 186,000 miles per second. The implication, like the speed, are truly mind-boggling. On one interpretation, it means that light will arrive at its destination almost before it has started its journey. In effect, it is leaping forward in time. Exact details of the finds remain confidential because they have been submitted to Nature, the International Scientific Journal, for review prior to possible publication. The work carried out by Dr. Lijung Wang of NEC Research Institute in Princeton, who transmitted a pulse of light towards a chamber filled with specially treated cesium gas. Before the pulse had fully entered the chamber, it had gone right through it and traveled a further 60 feet across the laboratory. In effect, it existed in two places at once, a phenomenon that Wang explains by saying it traveled 300 times faster than light. The research is already causing controversy among physicists. What bothers them is that if light could travel forward in time, it could carry information. This would breach one of the basic principles in physics, causality, which says that a cause must come before an effect. It would also shatter Einstein's theory of relativity, since it depends in part on the speed of light being unbreachable. Wang's experiment is the latest and possibly the most important evidence that the physical world may not operate according to any of the accepted conventions. In the new world that modern science is beginning to perceive, subatomic particles can apparently exist in two places at the same time, making no distinction between space and time. This idea is connected to remote viewing, as according to Mr. O'Donnell of RV Remote Viewing, the lower the frequency at which most of the brain's cortex operates, the lesser it filters out messages from the deep unconscious where neither time nor space exists. This connects with Bashar's teachings and comments that the higher self is just outside our time-space continuum. Further, Mr. O'Donnell says that operating at low theta around 4.5 to 5 cycles per second with retained awareness seems to be correlated with highly successful remote viewing abilities. In one famous laboratory experiment of modern quantum physics called the delayed choice experiment, even the past was changed in order to fit the present, which means that instead of the normal cause and effect logic that we are accustomed to, in that case, the effect chosen caused the cause to change accordingly. This means that our present choices changes the memory of our past. By correlation, one can say that since our only lived reality is the present, and that we live neither in the perceived past or the probable future, changing the memory we have of either the past or the future greatly influence our reality of the now. Also, have you heard about a new kind of energy that has been discovered that has, among other things, amazing healing properties? It is tachyon energy. It is compared to other subtle energy modalities, such as homeopathy and Chinese medicine. An attempt is made to understand it by referencing unusual theories of advanced physics and spiritual traditions. It is hypothesized that this is the energy of crop circles formation and an embryonic clue to a coming global transformation. So what is tachyon energy? According to David Wagner, PhD, there is an etheric body that surrounds and interpenetrates the physical body. It has, he says, the blueprint of the body as it grew in health. When this energy field is distorted by mental or physical stresses, disease will result in the physical body. Infusion of tachyon energy restores the blueprint and natural healing results. A model of the electromagnetic field of the heart shows a perfect fractal, toroidal donut shape. According to Dr. Ryan, such a shape is the subtle energy transducer. In other words, it converts one form of energy to another, because it generates an infinite number of harmonics, allowing a step-down or demodulation of higher energies, such as we have been calling tachyon energy. Energy travels through harmonics with no loss of power. Think of it as a staircase for energies from the beyond. Only when the heart is coherent, as in feelings of love and connectedness, can the energy come through in force. Resonance and coherence in an orderly system are the apparent keys to tapping the tachyon field. From this, we get a good idea about the interface of emotions and health, the new field of psychoneuroimmunology. People are first and foremost their own healers. They are ultimately responsible for their own health, whether they know it or not. Anyone who claims to be able to heal you is a liar. A true healer assists the mind-body to heal itself. If the body really does require its own supply of tachyon energy to stay healthy, then perhaps much of this does come from the heart, a sort of dynamo feeding healthful energy into the body. A chronically negative person, depressed, angry, guilt-ridden, anxious, or hateful, cuts off their own healing, healthful source of life energy, and by disordering and blocking their heart waves, sickness follows eventually. Crop circles are created by an unknown energy that shows a lot of similarities to what one would expect if a scalar interferometer were used to create them. According to scientist Roy Dutton, none of the energies known to us is capable of doing this. A very strong laser would cause considerable damage and would most probably even burn the corn. Young green corn would especially be in a bad state afterwards. For that reason, he doesn't think electromagnetic or laser energies have been used here. If we look at further possibilities, and this is the point where I have to go beyond my own sense of reality and beyond the present level in science, we have here, I believe, a new form of energy, which hasn't even been discovered yet, and which can affect the corn without causing damage. I can imagine that it is a kind of gravitational radiation. Gravitational radiation is another name for scalar or tachyon energy. It is exciting to think that the crop circle formations, tachyon energy, and the New Age are all perhaps part of the formula. Perhaps enlightenment will not come in our sleep some night, if it comes at all. Maybe it really will be a zap from above in the form of a carefully modulated scalar beam. There is every reason to suspect that the secret of the awesome power of scalar energy, with its total mastery of time, space, and the mind of creation itself, is being leaked to us, so to speak. Crop circles are a small demonstration, and David's tachyon energy is another such small demonstration. These hints are being given to us about the means to create a new age and a new world of enlightenment and abundance. It certainly deserves more serious look than the mainstream scientists, perpetually in denial, have demonstrated so far. And another mind-boggling discovery. According to the latest Russian DNA discoveries by Gerasimov, each physical cell in our body is in its own way a miniature brain, with memory of all its personal experiences and of relationship with the other cells and with the body as a whole. Your conscious thoughts and habits regulate the current condition. DNA can be influenced and reprogrammed by words and frequencies. The scientists also found out that our DNA produced magnetized wormholes. Wormholes are the microscopic equivalents of the Einstein-Rosen bridges in the vicinity of black holes. These are tunnel connections between entirely different areas in the universe through which information can be transmitted outside of space and time. The DNA attracts these bits of information and passes them on to our consciousness. This process of hypercommunication is most effective in a state of relaxation. Stress, worries, or a hyperactive intellect prevent successful hypercommunication. These discoveries prove that the human DNA is a biological internet and superior in many ways to the artificial one. They directly or indirectly explain phenomena such as clairvoyance, intuition, spontaneous and remote acts of healing, self-healing, and affirmation techniques. According to the Pleiadians, and I quote, "Unlike the conscious mind, the cells, molecules, atoms, and subatomic particles operate with an intelligence that is not confined to linear time. Your DNA is inscribed with an accumulation of ancestral perceptions and other lifetime memories that serve as a foundation for your physical identity to build upon. An inner communication system sustains your organs, your continuity of memory, and your ability to move and function, and it simultaneously assesses and maintains a myriad of communications between so-called past and future situations that affect your present reality." Another amazing discovery was made by David Hudson called monatomic elements. In a nutshell, this is the elixir of life or philosopher's stone. The ancients knew of this process of turning base metals into gold, and the residue is called white powder gold, which contains the monatomic elements of rhodium and iridium. These elements were in the first matter called prima matra. The substance apparently helps make the transition to higher states of consciousness if done properly and with caution. The superconductor qualities associate it with longevity. It was apparently used in the rite of passage in the ancient Egyptian mystery schools. I refer the listener to the article Prima Matra by Toth. According to Hudson, and I quote, over 5% of the brain tissue by dry matter weight is rhodium and iridium, and almost no one knows it because it can't be directly measured. The elements are flowing the light of life in your body. The elements are, in fact, what the light is detected by a 300-second spectroscopic analysis. You have this liquid invisible light that vibrates, and it's flowing in your body right now. And it corrects the DNA and keeps the DNA corrected and functioning correctly. What happens when some DNA becomes deficient in these elements or it becomes pinned with carcinogens, now the light cannot flow in that area. Now, curiously enough, you find the aura also collapses in that area because the aura is the Meissner field of the superconductor. When the light cannot flow through that area, you get resistance. You get heat buildup. You get energy buildup. It's like a rock in the stream. The water can't flow through the rock now, and the DNA becomes altered, and it's getting too much energy as heat, and the cells begin to divide way too fast. When you put these elements into the cancer correctly, then the resonance connection can establish itself where the rock used to be, and the rock dissolves away because the light begins to correct the DNA again, and that's the way it cures cancer. I should point out that I believe David has quit in his efforts to make his work available to the public. Even though he claims that at 2 milligrams, it totally has gotten rid of Kaposi sarcomas on AIDS patients, that 2 milligram injections within 2 hours, the white blood cell count goes from 2,500 to 6,500 white blood cells, and that stage 4 cancer patients have taken it orally and after 45 days have no cancer in their body. Also interesting to note that another claim cure for cancer is the Budwig diet, which basically is composed of cottage cheese and flax oil. It turns out flaxseed oil has the monoatomic elements of rhodium and iridium. I suggest reading David Hudson's lectures 1, 2, and 3 on the Internet. It should be noted that there are also natural sources of monoatomics. They can be found in green vegetables, eggplant, carrots, Welch's grape juice, almond, sea salt, flaxseed oil, aloe vera, to name a few. Listeners who have interest in this subject may also want to explore the current research with Powdarko or Tahibo tea at Earl B. Hall's website, Atlantean Healing Technologies and Egyptian Healing Rods at www.egyptianhealingrods.com. Undoubtedly, the most important realization about the nature of reality in the history of mankind was made and proven through a series of experiments conducted at the University of Paris South in 1982 by a term of optical physicists led by Alan Aspect. This, expressed for the average person not versed in the highly complex world of quantum mechanics, states that space is non-local, which means that it is illusory, and the world is not composed of objects that added together form the universe. Rather, the subject viewing the object form an indivisible whole where everything is related and everyone influences everyone and everything else. In other words, there exists a realm outside of space-time where all events of the fundamental processes of nature and life per se operate outside of space-time. Non-locality means that this domain is everywhere and nowhere in particular, every when and no when. It is now here and now there. Although this is a truism within the physical sciences, many branches of science still hold dearly to the 19th century classical mechanics and fearing the profound spiritual implication of this reality. Therefore, use the methods given to fashion to yourselves a better present and future. Create and decide to be happy. Everything will unfold from then on, and trust will replace fear for the betterment of all. Bashar has a mantra that is a communication from your higher self, and it is, outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? Then choose and act on any circumstance through this perspective. It is possible to be happy for no other reason. I refer the listener to my ebooks at maxwellgreensight.com for the essential teachings of Bashar and Elin, both Essasanis. And I quote, creation all exists here, now, outside time, in one eternal now, moment. Therefore, everything that you believe might someday get, you actually already have. Everything is here now, but in varying states of visibility or invisibility, depending on the frequencies in which you are vibrating, which depends on the beliefs that you accept as real. When you pray for something, you do not need to pray to get something you do not already have, since it's already right there in front of you. Instead, you are actually praying to be able to see that you actually already have it, because when you can see that you already have it, then your vibration frequency matches the vibration of that which you desire. And once you frequency match with that which you desire, then it has to manifest in your reality. Everything is energy. You cannot help but then get that reality, because that's the physics of how the universe works. When you match frequencies with what you desire, you will then see that it has always been right here, just waiting for you to notice it and start enjoying it. For those who have not yet clued in, some of the best information on the planet is at www.bashar.org. And this material is also in my ebooks, which can be purchased at maxwellgreensite.com. And the name of that site is called Healing the Known and the Unknown. And now, how about some fun with quantum physics? We're not going to go into string theory, as it is pretty much not practical, and most of it is theoretical. But from an article called Quantum Magic by Nataraz Hauser, starting with the Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle, which basically states that the idea that we can measure things exactly breaks down. Particles can appear in places where they have no right to be from an ordinary common sense point of view. And in Alice in Quantum Land, Alice in the Quantum Mechanic illustrates an interesting point. I quote from her, "And there is no way you can say what each particle is doing until it is observed?" repeated Alice, just to get this clear. "No, no way at all. In some sense, the particles are doing all of the things which it could possibly be doing. The inference shows that the different possibilities are all present and affect one another. In some ways, they are all equally real. Everything that is not forbidden is compulsory." Well, so far that sounds pretty good, thinks Alice. It seems that many things are happening simultaneously and all are equally valid and real until observed. Then she follows this up with an encounter from the master of the Copenhagen School. "Does this mean when you look at something, you can choose what you will see?" asked Alice in some disbelief. "Oh no, you do not get any choice in the matter. What you are likely to see is determined by the probabilities for the various quantum states. What you actually see is a matter of random chance. This is perchance and only becomes fixed when an observation is made." The master said this very earnestly, though so quietly that Alice had to strain to catch everything that he said. "Making an observation seems to be very important then," Alice mused half to herself. "But then who can make an observation?" Ah, now there's the rub. Someone who gets to make an observation becomes the one who selects in some capacity the actual outcome from an array of probable outcomes. It seems that now we're getting back to magic. Consider Aleister Crowley's definition of magic, paraphrased as the act of causing a change to conform to one's will. Real magic could be the ability to skillfully effect change at the quantum level to prepare oneself to willfully observe the desired outcome. In other words, the magician directly controls the quantum observation. There is a quantum physics concept referred to as non-local connectivity. It states that once a particle has been part of a thing, it retains a connection with all other particles of that thing, regardless of distance. This throws the speed of light limit right out the window, because the flip could not happen instantly over great distances if the energy required to connect the particles is limited to movements at the speed of light. This is an alternate theory in the field of quantum physics, often referred to as many worlds. Many Worlds is a reformulation of quantum theory published in 1957 by Dr. Hugh Everett, which treats the process of observation or measurement entirely within the wave mechanics of quantum theory, rather than an input as additional assumption as in the Copenhagen interpretation. According to Many Worlds, all the possible outcomes of a quantum interaction are realized. The wave function, instead of collapsing at the moment of observation, carries on evolving in a deterministic fashion, embracing all possibilities embedded within it. All outcomes exist simultaneously but do not interfere further with each other, each single prior world having split into mutually unobservable but equally real worlds. So how does this relate to magic? According to many worlds, the moment of observation creates a branch in the flow of potential outcomes. In essence, peeling one strand from a bundle of possible events and allowing the observer and all those within her world to share in the reality. Others not within the observer's world at that moment may or may not share in the outcome of that event. Bashar has even said that we all live in our own universe. The only reason we have shared experience is because we agree to it. Consider the famous cat experiment proposed by scientist Ernst Schrödinger in the Many Worlds framework. A cat is placed in a sealed box with a device that releases a lethal dose of cyanide if a certain radioactive decay is detected. For simplicity, we'll imagine that the box, while closed, completely isolates the cat from its environment. After a while, an investigator opens the box to see if the cat is alive or dead. According to the Copenhagen interpretation, the cat was neither alive nor dead until the box was opened, whereupon the wave function of the cat collapsed into one of the two possible alternatives, alive or dead cat. The paradox, according to Schrödinger, is that the cat presumably knew if it was alive or dead before the box was opened. According to many worlds, the device was split into states, cyanide released or not, by the radioactive decay, which is a thermodynamically irreversible process. As the cyanide, no cyanide, interacts with the cat is split into two states, alive or dead. From the surviving cat's point of view, it occupies a different world from its deceased copy. The onlooker is split into two copies only when the box is opened and they are altered by the states of the cat. The cat splits when the device is triggered irreversibly. The investigator splits when they open the box. The alive cat has no idea that the investigator has split any more than it is aware that there is a dead cat in the neighboring split-off world. The investigator can deduce after the event by examining the cyanide mechanism or the cat's memory that the cat split prior to opening the box. But what's the observation? Is it an act of will? Is it a decision to act or believe versus not acting or believing? In the example of a faith healer, does the decision, act of will, to be healed by him trigger the split that allows the healing to occur? In short, the magician becomes the observer, creating an alternate world that reflects the actual outcome from the myriad probable outcomes. Non-local connectivity allows the effect to ignore distance. Magic, then, is not really magic. It is merely an application, natural rules we simply do not fully understand. If you're interested in more magic or reality creation, I refer you to Marilyn the Magician, a student of Bashar, and Merlin at the Creative Camelot Club. Here are some excerpts from her book, Merlin's Message. In reference to the King Arthur story about the sword and the stone, she says, "Those who failed to free the sword came to the scene with great seriousness and anxiety. They were trying to use physical force for their power source, rather than allowing the force of the source to be their power. When you feel negative emotion, the sword remains stuck in the stone. The sword of truth is freed from the stone when you feel positive emotion. If you find yourself in a state of longing or yearning to obtain something, you have energetically separated yourself from your desire, and it can never be. You have to be it to see it, and you must see it to be it. This is where the power of paradox comes into play. Masters know that true freedom comes from the release of resistance. They take self-responsibility for their creations, knowing there can be no blame. They know that no one needs saving. They allow others their experiences. One of the keys to mastering the craft of creator is to differentiate between expectancy and expectation. To have an expectation is limiting. To be in a state of expectancy is unlimited. Your freedom lies in the exhilaration found in letting go, not of what you want, but of how, when, who, or where it will come from. If you find yourself continually asking for the same thing, you are not believing that they are already yours. Why doubt yourself as a creator? Instead, trust that the universe delivers in ways that go beyond what you can imagine. Trust it, let it go, and know it is so. In your complaining, you only bring more things to complain about. If you choose to argue in any way by giving reasons or excuses for why you are experiencing any lack or limitation, you will find that you get to keep what those experiences are by the law of attraction. You get to be right about everything that goes out from you. There is no getting around that you are powerful and loved no matter what you do, and the law of attraction proves that to you. Imprint the future you desire as a memory, and it is done. This seems an appropriate time to mention that on one of the Bashar tapes, a quantum physicist is asking Bashar questions, and Bashar explains the theory of prime radium. You won't find the theory of prime radium on your internet, by the way. It doesn't exist. The physicist finally says, "Wow." And Bashar says, "That's the appropriate response when you get it." Basically, prime radium cannot be found on any search engine, and says that energy which we perceive as solid is actually a wave, and the universe is actually one particle in a void that moves at infinite speed. Since it is everywhere at once, it fills all space and is next to itself so quickly it would appear to be an infinite number of particles. Because it is a massless particle, no force acts on it, so it breaks no laws. It crosses its own path in a way that to be visible in a certain pattern, it slows down, and when it crosses its path, dimensions are created, and thus 3D reality. Actually, there is only one moment in time, seen from different perspectives. We perceive it as one moment after another in 3D, because we actually live in a hall of mirrors. Keeping on topic, I would next like to quote from Jalayla Starr in an article she wrote concerning the formula of compassion. Whether we are aware of it or not, we all create our own reality. Until recently, we had no way to fully understand this concept. We didn't understand the mechanics behind how we create. It occurs through what has become known as our inner technology. It has been discovered that the heart has its own neural network. This neural net interfaces without reality, i.e., the morphogenetic field or mass consciousness. The morphogenetic field acts as a reflector or mirror that shows us what we think and feel. Quantum physicists have discovered that this neural network, rather than the one in the brain, is the real controlling factor in influencing the morphogenetic field. In other words, the brain controls the thoughts, but it is those feelings in our heart that are reflected in the mirror. Thus, when we feel in our hearts, our true intentions and motives are reflected through the reality that we see. Hence, she says, we are what we think, and we create our own reality. And from Science and Spirituality, I quote, "Amazing recent evidence indicates that the heart begins to beat in the unborn fetus even before the brain is formed, so it appears that the heart truly does hold primary status as the initiator of human life. Although previously unknown, neuroscientists have now discovered there are over 40,000 nerve cells, neurons, in the heart alone, indicating that the heart has its own independent nervous system, sometimes called the brain and the heart. In addition, the heart has an electromagnetic energy field 5,000 times greater than that of the brain, and this field can be measured with magnetometers up to 10 feet beyond the physical body. This provides support for the spiritual teachings that indicate we humans have energy fields that constantly intermingle with each other, enabling healing thoughts to be extended and exchanged. As names like the Indigo Children, the Crystal Children, the Super Psychic Children suggest, our human evolution is being upgraded by wise and loving souls returning to Earth. Research at Princeton University has shown that individual and global consciousness can now be measured. It was found that the global consciousness reacts equally strong to positive and negative events. I refer the listener to the article by Peter von Bergoner, Morphic Fields Can Now Be Measured Scientifically. Of great connection is the 100th monkey effect. The Japanese monkey, Macaca fuscata, had been observed in the wild for a period of over 30 years. In 1952, on the island of Koshima, scientists were providing monkeys with sweet potatoes dropped in the sand. The monkeys liked the taste of the raw sweet potatoes, but they found the dirt unpleasant. An 18-month-old female, Emo, found she could solve the problem by washing the potatoes in a nearby stream. She taught this trick to her mother. Her playmates also learned the new way, and they taught their mother, too. This cultural innovation was gradually picked up by various monkeys before the eyes of the scientists. Between 1952 and 1958, all the young monkeys learned to wash the sandy sweet potatoes to make them more palatable. Only the adults who imitated their children learned this social improvement. Other adults kept eating the dirty potatoes. Then something startling took place. In the autumn of 1958, a certain number of Kashima monkey were washing sweet potatoes. The exact number is not known. Let us suppose that when the sun rose one morning, there were 99 monkeys on Kashima Island who had learned to wash their sweet potatoes. Let's further suppose that later that morning, the 100th monkey learned to wash the potatoes. Then it happened. By that evening, almost everyone in the tribe was washing sweet potatoes before eating them. The added energy of this 100th monkey somehow created an ideological breakthrough. But notice, a most surprising thing observed by these scientists was that the habit of washing sweet potatoes then jumped over the sea. Colonies of monkeys on other islands and the mainland group of monkeys began washing their sweet potatoes. Thus, when a certain critical number achieves an awareness, this new awareness may be communicated from mind to mind. Although the exact number may vary, this 100th monkey phenomenon means that when only a limited number of people know of a new way, it may remain the conscious property of these people. But there is a point at which, if only one more person tunes in to a new awareness, a field is strengthened so that this awareness is picked up by almost everyone. Have you heard about the super psychic children? Since 1974, the Chinese government have discovered over 100,000 children with extraordinary psychic powers. Over 5,000 of these young Chinese have demonstrated the passing of solid objects through another solid object. A child randomly selects a bottle of pills which is sealed in its original plastic wrap and then placed on a table. Suddenly, the pills inside the sealed bottle pass through the glass and rest on the table. The child can also take a coin, put it on the table, and the coin will pass through the sealed bottle. A young girl named Yang Li can remove cigarettes from a cardboard box without touching the box. The Chinese government has now set up training schools to assist these children and pass on to others their psychic abilities. The officials discovered that many children who aren't psychic socialize with the psychic children and quickly absorb the ability to perform the same astounding feats as the super psychic kids. And from an interview done with Drunvalo Mikelzadik by Diane Cooper, about 10 or 11 years ago in the U.S., there was a baby born with AIDS. They tested him at birth and at 6 months, and he tested positive for AIDS. They tested him a year later, and he still tested positive. Then they didn't test him again until he was 6. And what was amazing is that this test showed that he was completely AIDS-free. In fact, there was no trace that he ever had AIDS or HIV whatsoever. He was taken to UCLA to see what was going on, and those tests showed that he didn't have normal human DNA. In the human DNA, we have 4 nucleic acids that combine in sets of 3, producing 64 different patterns that are called codons. Human DNA all over the world always has 20 of these codons turned on, and the rest of them are turned off, except for 3, which are the stop and start codes, much like a computer. Science always assumed that the ones that were turned off were old programs from our past. This boy had 24 codons turned on, 4 more than any other human being. Then they tested this kid to see how strong his immune system was. They took a very lethal dose of AIDS in a petri dish and mixed it with some of his cells, and his cells remained completely unaffected. They kept raising the lethalness of the composition and finally went up to 3,000 times more than what was necessary to infect a human being, and his cells stayed completely disease-free. Then they started testing his blood with other things like cancer and discovered that this kid was immune to everything. Then they found other kids with these codons turned on, and they now estimate hundreds of thousands of these kids now exist in the world. And now they're finding adults with it too, just like the 100th monkey theory. The other part of this concerns the new book entitled Cracking the Bible Code, which has to do with the running of the Hebrew books of the Bible through a specialized computer program. If you go to page 164 of this book, it shows where the researchers put the AIDS into the program to see what would happen. When they did, the program translation provided words like HIV, in the blood, the immune system, death, all the things you would think you'd see around the word AIDS. But down in the corner was this sentence that they didn't understand, and it said, the end of disease. And that is what I believe is happening here. This is why I started the website, Healing the Known and the Unknown, at MaxwellGreenSite.com. Because the root cause of all disease is dysfunctional emotions, which come about as erroneous judgments of neutral events. For those of you that have been following this program since its inception, the first show was all about self-empowerment. The next, we covered the connection between self-empowerment and optimizing the immune system and healing diseases, both known and unknown. Then we covered many techniques that are helpful in this regard in the third program. The third program, I believe, also had an extraterrestrial meditation. And in the fourth program, we connected the extraterrestrial teachings of Bashar from 2,700 years in our future to the ultimate truths of reality, which was a channeling from Mary 2,000 years ago, and which recently were only taught in the ancient mystery schools. And these concepts of the ultimate truths of reality can be found on your internet under College of Christ Consciousness. For those who missed these programs, they will soon be available for purchase at the MaxwellGreenSite.com. In fact, just today I was talking to Media Button, who are doing the producing of this particular website, and everything is almost at the test stage. So for those who missed these amazing programs and the amazing information that was contained in them, they will be available for purchase at the MaxwellGreenSite.com. The name of the site is called Healing the Known and the Unknown. And in addition, there will be two free downloads, as well as so you can get a real taste for the kind of information that's involved in these ebooks. And now on this show, we're showing the scientific connections to a lot of this information. And Mother Mary says, and I quote, that a new genetic code is about to emerge, bringing about the synchronization of mind, body, and spirit, and totally obliterating disease. And I'd also like to mention that Drunvalo and Greg Braden, who was one of the first people to write about the children of AIDS, believes that there are three parts to this phenomenon, and I totally concur. The first part is the mind that sees unity. It sees the flower of life. It sees everything interconnected in all ways. It doesn't see anything as separate. And the second part is being centered in the heart to be loving. And the third thing is to step out of polarity, to no longer judge the world. As long as we are judging the world as good or bad, then we are inside polarity and remain in the fallen state. One of the threads of the ET yoga program is to take 100% responsibility for your outer experience. This gives you the power. Do not blame, criticize, or justify your circumstances, as this places you in a victimhood consciousness. Judgment is the root cause of all negative emotions and beliefs, which are in turn the root cause of all disease, among other things. Now, if you're looking for extraterrestrial support of all this information discussed today, I suggest www.bashar.org. Study sacred geometry, especially as it relates to the crop circles. On your internet, you can search Genosh sacred geometry and learn that crop circles help trigger genetic codes. There is even a crop circle and meditation from Archangel Michael on the site, which activates your DNA template for perfect health and well-being. This can also be found under Infinity Codes of 2007. And the Maxwell Green site was put together so that you could work on the mental components of self-empowerment and relate these to healing or optimizing your immune system. It will provide you with all the information to achieve personal sovereignty and strengthen your immune system, all the way up to and including complete immunity from disease. Yes, you heard that right, up to complete immunity from disease. I would now like to ask for potential callers that may have questions about this evening's program or any of the other ET yoga programs that have been on the air, and I'd like to remind that callers can call in. That's USA and Canada, 888 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Or worldwide, 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. And typically on the ET Yoga, I take mail from our listeners and try to pick out an interesting question. And tonight we're going to have a little bit of a switch because I'm going to provide the question. And that question is, how to attain supreme clarity? And the reason I chose that question was because I came across an amazing channeling from Archangel Zadkiel, and this was presented by Sri Ramka and Kira Ra on their at ascension.com. And I'd really like to share this with you, the gift of supreme clarity. And this is Archangel Zadkiel, and I quote, "Pay attention, if you must, to media. And if you feel so called, pay no attention. It is important for you to make your decision now. You will either decide to continue to be engaged or you will not be engaged. Do not be on the fence with this one. It will bring great chaotic energy into your life. If you wish to truly unplug from chaotic energy, do it now. Either go deep into it or unplug from it. We are offering to you the gift of supreme clarity. You may experiment and say, I will for 1 week not be involved in media. We offer to you the opportunity to unplug from the newspaper, TV, radio, and all that gives you information that is asking you to judge another. Does not this information ask you to judge? This one killed this one, make a judgment. This war, make a judgment. These people, make a judgment. This experience, make a judgment. There is not even one piece of information that comes to you from the media that does not ask you to make a judgment, even if it is subliminal. What would your week be like without judgment and without judgment from other stimulus coming into you? What would your week be like if the only judgment you had to deal with was that you bring up within yourself? What if you spent a week looking at just the judgments that are still there? Give yourself this opportunity, and as you do, you make your decision. Know that all decisions here are perfect. There is no better way, there is no right way, there is no wrong way, there is only way. So you decide which way. Perhaps after your experiment you say, too much for me, I must be involved. Then we ask that you be very involved. Read it all, listen to it all, and bring your heart to it all as you do. However you express through your heart is indeed imperfection. If after a week you say, I choose to continue in this new pattern, then choose to continue that way. There will always be those that will bring the news to you, we can assure you. You will never, not ever hear of it. There are many who wish to talk about it. There are many who spend their lives obsessed with the news of others. There are many who spend their lives obsessed with judgment. You must understand that the gift of this is that they offer an opportunity for the density to be very, very real. Do they not? They hold very firm anchors in density. What a blessing. Bless them for their judgment. Bless them for their commitment, for the choice that they have made to stay in density. For as they anchor density firmly, they offer for you a greater opportunity to activate your lift, to no longer walk on the planet, to simply be here as one who is a custodian, a guardian, one who loves, one who sees the truth, and one who understands. Archangel Zadkiel. So I'd like to, at this time, ask for any callers that may have any questions about tonight's program or any questions about the ET Yoga programs that have been presented in the past. And if there are no callers...
Caller on line two.
There's a caller coming in. Hello, caller.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. How are you this evening?
Fine. How are you?
Hey, real good. I'm glad you called. I was just about ready to say goodnight to everybody.
Yeah, well, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your show and really enjoy it. I have a real quick question, and maybe you can give a, since you're close to the end of the show, maybe get a quick answer, but whatever it takes. I'd like to see if you could give us some good advice on how to apply quantum laws to relate to how we can increase the strength of the right side of our brain.
That's a great one. That is a great one. The first thing that comes to my mind is a very simple technique, and it was taught by Bashar, and it's basically around the theory that we always assume that outer circumstances always come in, there's a built-in meaning to all the circumstances that we're involved with. And one of the things I think that if we think about it, we can appreciate is that outer circumstances, one man's meat is another man's poison. So when you experience something that is really exciting for you, like maybe you like to eat liver and somebody else would make them vomit, one man's meat's another's poison. So what we can realize from that is that all circumstances are that way. Even though we assume that other people think of something as being negative or it's not good, anything that you can perceive as a negative situation, I challenge you to try this because it does work. Throw a positive spin on it. And that means throw a positive emotional spin. Now, when I'm thinking right brain, I always think of, okay, emotion, and I'm thinking of the heart. And as the comments that we talked about in quantum physics in this program tonight, the heart is actually the main source of the mirror, or the reflection that we perceive as reality. So when you perceive a negative situation, if you just throw, even if you can't see how it could possibly turn out good, just say to yourself, I don't see how it could possibly turn out good, but I'm going to look for something good to come of this, and then see what happens. And I challenge people to do this all the time, and it's amazing the people that come back and say, gee, you know, that it just blows your mind because it works. And like Bashar says, it's physics. It's positive meaning in, positive experience out. Negative meaning in, negative experience out. And when I'm thinking about a positive emotion, I'm thinking about what Bashar says, is that what keeps us in alignment with our higher selves is joy and excitement. And that, when you follow your joy and you follow your passion and you follow your excitement, you're in harmony with, more in harmony with your higher self. And of course, the fundamental frequency is unconditional love, which to me is also, you know, it's emotional. It's emotional, it's compassionate, it's gratitude, it's joy, excitement, all of these things. And what we're being shown through all these new discoveries in physics is that, that emotion is everything. I mean, I'm even thinking about a chess game. Even if you think about a chess game, the queen is always considered the most powerful piece on the board, but in reality, it's the two rooks. The rooks are the most powerful. They're only worth 5 each, but that's 10, and the queen's kind of rated at 9.5, and if you notice in grandmaster chess levels that two rooks are more powerful than a queen, and in certain circumstances, it takes an extra pawn by the queen to win, where the rooks can win. And it's an amazing that even the game of chess reflects how important emotion is, and how important emotion is directly reflected in our DNA, and it's directly reflected in our health. Because when we experience the higher emotional concepts of joy and unconditional love, and express those in the world, those are reflected in our DNA, and it gets to the point where, as I said in a previous program, in the next dimensional level, they're just that those frequencies can't of negativity and disease won't exist, because there'll be too much of an awareness of a consciousness of unity. And this is what's been shown in these psychic kids and the ones that are immune to disease, is that they reflect these emotional capacity to basically love the world. And one of the comments that came up earlier this week, I was talking with someone, and they were talking about another person about being so negative about this and that and whatever. And one of my comments was, you know, Bashar said this, I think it was just perfect note to end the show on, is that he says, you know, when you finally leave this world, that world that you left, that's you. And I think that really says it all. Does that help you in that some way, Ken, with that question?
Very good. Very, yes, sir. Appreciate
it. Well, thank
your time.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate your call. And as usual, I'd like to wish everyone my sincere wish for all of you is for full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'll see you next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds.